I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Some have had the wrong idea that everything is up to God and left up to Him, and that we basically have no responsibility in anything that happens. Well, that's not even reasonable when you think about what kind of capabilities God has given us. But He does require faith. The Scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so faith is not optional with Him. And you can't say, well, I just don't have faith. Faith is a choice. And if somebody says, I'm sorry, I just can't believe that, they're not saying it correctly. You can believe anything you choose to believe. Doesn't have to be true. Doesn't have to be right. Doesn't have to be reasonable. All you got to do is look around. People are believing some bizarre stuff. It's just a choice. Well, how much more should we make the right choice to trust the one who has never lied, never failed? Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so it's not unreasonable for God to say, I'm faithful to you. I will never lie to you. I'll never forsake you and betray you and let you down. Trust what I say. That's not unreasonable. And so let's make that choice today, and let's make it every day and in every situation that we choose to trust Him. Said out loud, Lord,
I choose
to trust you,
to
believe your word,
and to trust you
in all things. Father, we're so thankful that we know you and that you have chosen us, and we get to walk with you and fellowship with you and commune with you. And for everybody joining with us today, Lord, we ask for the anointing and for your presence wherever they are, and that you would give ears that hear, eyes that see, hearts that are open and can distinguish and understand and receive. We ask for answers and help and grace to help today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you would look in the Scriptures with me again to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. Faith for Provision. Now, if you haven't been with us up until now, I encourage you, go online to faithschool.org, and there are hundreds of messages that precede this series. We talked about why we need to have faith. We talked about what faith is. We talked about how to get faith, how faith is increased. We talked about how to overcome unbelief. We talked about faith for healing. And so what we're talking about now is built on the foundation of what came before. Won't cost you anything. There's no charge. There's no commitment required out of you. Go to faithschool.org and get the benefit of these previous messages. But what we've talked about is that faith, even though it works the same in every area, it must be fed in every area. You can have strong faith that you're saved, that your sins are forgiven, that you're on your way to heaven, and have no faith at all to be healed. You could have strong faith to be healed by the power of God, and no faith at all to get your bills paid. Because when people say, I have faith. Faith for what? That's too vague and ambiguous. What do you mean? Well, I believe in God. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you have any faith to be healed. And faith comes by what, class? Anybody remember? You have to have heard something about the one you're trusting in. And so in order to have faith to be healed, for instance, you need to hear what he said about healing. And you need to feed on that until all the contradictory ideas against what he said are overcome by the power of the word. Well, when it comes to faith for provision, just all over the place in all kinds of churches, people are taught that it might not be God's will for them to have anything materially or financially, and that, you know, God is using poverty, he's using lack to teach them things and to train and to, well, if you believe that, you're not going to have any faith for provision. You won't have faith to, you know, to pay your bills, to get ahead, to come out of debt and that kind of thing. But the danger is what Jesus talked about. He said to the religious leaders of his day, he said, you have made the word of God of none effect by your traditions. Religious tradition is one of the most evil, dangerous things on the planet, because people think it's God. They think it's the word. They think it's right when it's just something that human beings came up with because trying to explain things they didn't understand. No, friend, go to the source. Go to it is written. Go to thus saith the Lord, and don't believe anything that doesn't agree with that. And so what we've begun to do is to give one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Is that true? Well, not asking you to take my thought or opinion for it. I said 30 reasons from the Bible. How many think that's a good place to look, right? Amen. From the Bible. I've actually heard people say, if there's anything in the Bible about that, I don't think so. There's nothing in the Bible. And you think, whoa, have you ever read the Bible? I mean, it's there. Yes. It's there and then some. So we began number one reason why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all, because the Lord is our shepherd. In Psalm 23:1, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. What's the rest of it? I shall not want. Now, that same word translated want in the King James is translated lack in the same King James. So it's entirely accurate to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Now, other translations bring it out like this. One says, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. Another said, the Lord is my shepherd, he gives me everything I need. The BBE says, the Lord takes care of me as his sheep, I will not be without any good thing. One translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need. Well, how many think it's a good idea that Christians believe the Bible, and how many Christians say they like Psalm 23? They like the 23rd Psalm. And just roll right past the very first verse and not even see what it said. Come on, everybody, say it out loud. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
I do not lack.
I do not lack.
He gives me everything I need.
He gives me everything.
The Lord takes care of me, as his sheep.
I will always
have everything I need. Why? Because he's my shepherd. He takes care of me. Now, you can't have it both ways. That the Lord is my shepherd, I'm starving. The Lord is my shepherd, I experience continual lack. That's not what it said. Right? It's not what it said. Yeah, but you just never know. What do you mean? is God's word to be counted on, depended upon, or not?
Yes.
So that was our reason number one. We spent some time on that. Reason number two was the goodness of God. And we talked about, is lack good or is it bad? And you'll hear sometimes people say, well, you know, it could be a blessing in disguise. No, a blessing is a blessing. A curse is a curse. Never does a curse become a blessing. Never. God is good. Having your bills paid?
Good.
Not being able to do what you need to? Bad. Right? This is not confusing. Unless, you know, you go to school and get degrees and decide you're smarter now than the Bible. The number three was the fatherhood of God. Number four, the creation of God. Number five, God's will in heaven. Number six, the God of Abraham. If you asked Abraham, does God want you to be poor sometime? He'd say, the God I know made me rich. Right? He wouldn't relate to what you're talking about. And number seven, we are the seed of Abraham, and the blessing of Abraham is ours. Number eight, the blessing of tithing. Abraham was a tither, and we see connected with tithing is protection and blessing and increase. The Lord never said, honor me with the tithe and go broke. Huh? See, inconsistent. And what you'll see, truth is always consistent. Untruths, deceptions, lies cannot be consistent by reason of what they are. The enemy might be able to fool people, even you if you don't know the word, but if you keep examining it and asking questions, you'll realize, hold on, this can't be right. Untruths are inconsistent. And that's, we talked about the blessing of tithing. We talked about honor and riches. The Lord said if you honor Him, you would be blessed. You would have increase. We talked about number 10, wisdom and wealth. Does He want us wise or does He want us dumb?
Wise.
Huh? He said if we would be wise and do what He said, we would increase. We would have riches. We'd have long life. Well, then if you follow Him, you obey Him, you seek His wisdom and walk in it, but you are broke and you die young, inconsistent. Come on, can you see this? That's not right. Something's not right there, because He said, do this and you'll get this. Then we talked about being imitators of God. You know, is God a God who says, do what I say, not what I do? Huh? Now, you live in the ditch on the side of the road, but I'm going to live in glory in gold. Huh? Is God requiring us to live in a way He will not live?
No.
Can you see what I'm saying? Is He saying, do what I say, but of course I'm not going to touch that. I wouldn't live that way, but I want you to live that way. No, the Bible says we're to be imitators of God as dear children. Well, He lives good.
Amen.
God lives big.
Amen.
He lives large. Is that right? Now, we're not going to get the full measure of this until we get out of here and get to heaven. But we can have a taste of heaven to go to heaven in. The Bible talked about experiencing days of heaven on the earth, the first fruits of our inheritance. Now, we're down to number 12. Y'all want to keep going? You know, we got 30 of these. So, right, we got to keep making progress if we're going to finish in this decade. But that's one reason we hope you can keep coming back to faith school, because thankfully we don't have to do everything in one class or one week or even in one month. So because of the Lord's goodness and faithfulness and all of our partners that pray and believe with us and sow into this, we're able to keep going. So let's keep going. Look with me, if you would, in Exodus, the third chapter. And let's go on to our 12th reason today. Exodus chapter 3. We are sure. Everybody say sure.
Sure.
You know, that's one thing you'll find about the scriptures. the language that's used is we know, we're sure, we're confident. Have you read the scriptures and heard things like that? Not we think so, we hope so, we'll see, there's a chance. One of the things that distinguished Jesus' ministry from the scribes and Pharisees and doctors of the law, the people even said among themselves, they said, he speaks with authority. What did that mean? Just what we're talking about. Paul, you know, said to those people he ministered to, pray for me that I'd open my mouth boldly, that I'd make known the mystery of the gospel boldly. Well, now, that doesn't mean arrogantly. Why are you bold? You're bold because you're sure.
Amen.
Huh? You're sure. You know. And that's what he was saying, is that for we know and we are confident, we're fully persuaded, we are sure. And that's why I'm talking about this. We are sure of something here. Huh? That abundant provision is always God's will for us all. That includes me. That includes you. I want to hear you say it. I am sure.
I am sure.
I am
sure.
Abundant provision
is always
God's will
for us all.
For me. That's today, this week, what? It is God's will for you to have all you need and even more than you need to pay all your bills, do everything you need to do. Huh? It is. You don't have to wonder about that. You don't have to beg and cry and hope that something might happen. We are sure. Sure. And when you get to the place where you can say that, and not doubt and not waver, you're in a position to receive. You're in a position to see some things happen. Because God can, he can work with that. That's real faith. But you got to get rid of the uncertainty. Well, in Exodus, the third chapter, this is the account where Moses has fled from Egypt. He's a wanted man over there. And he winds up in the wilderness of the desert. And he is a shepherd, and he comes to the mountain of God, Horeb, in chapter 3 and 1. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. It's burning, but it didn't burn up. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. But when the Lord saw that he turned aside, he called to him out of the midst. He said, Moses, Moses, he said, here am I. And so he told him that he is the God of Abraham. I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face. Now he went on to tell him that he had heard the prayer of his people and was come down to deliver them. Now skip down to verse 13. Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they will say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say to them? In other words, who sent me to you? And God said, this is Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is our 12th reason why we are sure that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why? Because of the great I am. So what does that mean? Hold on, I'm going to get to it. The great I am. Everybody say, I am. That's a big way God has revealed himself to Moses, to his people. So he went back and told the entire nation this. And so this is one of their first encounters, reality encounter with God. And they would have talked about this among themselves, who knows how much. Who did he say he talked to? Who was speaking out of the fire? They said, he said, I am. I am that I am. Now, this word means, you know, what we're seeing in the English. If you look it up, it's the same thing, but we might use the word be, to be. Or a good word is, in our language, exist. I exist. I am. I am being. I exist. Now, why I'm talking about this relative to faith for provision is he is the God who exists, and he is the unchanging one, the God who does not change, the self-existent one. Now, this is, you know, especially church-going people might think, well, this is too basic. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. Anybody remember Hebrews 11? In fact, just hold your place here and go there to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe what?
Yes.
Must believe that the I am is. Must believe that God exists. Now, this is a huge issue all over the world, right now, today. There are millions of people who say they don't think God exists. And if you have to specify, people say, well, why did God do this or why didn't God do that? First of all, you have to say, what God? Because any other time, they'd say God didn't even exist. But then if something doesn't go the right way, they're mad at a God that didn't exist, that they assume should have helped them. Huh? Yeah, but last week you said he didn't exist. Now you're mad at him for something that you don't think he did. Or people worship all kinds of gods. Which God? Okay, if something miraculous happened, who are we going to give the credit to? This God? That God? The other God? There's only one God.
Amen.
I said there's only one God.
Amen.
He is the I am. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God Moses talked to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is no other. There is no other. And he is the God who exists, the self-existent one. Now you get into some things here. Because you might ask the question, well, where did God come from? How did he get started? That is a real question. And who could we go to answer that for us? Who would have the answer of that? God said to Moses, I am that I am. Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God, what? Must. This is not optional. If you're going to have any real interaction with God, and you're going to have a real response from God, this is not optional. You must believe something. And of course, this should be obvious. You've got to believe he exists.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
You're not going to come to a God you don't even believe exists. You're not going to pray to a God you don't even believe exists. He exists.
Yes.
I am, is what he said. Now, you know, Men couldn't come up with this. You know, when Moses is talking to God out of the fire of the burning bush, and he says, who will I say has sent me? Men would never come up with this in a million years to say, I exist. Huh? That's who you're going to say? Just tell them. I exist, or I am that I exist. I exist that I exist. What does that mean? It means more than you can wrap your little head around right now, but you could make a choice to believe it. Huh? You could. The NIV actually says it this way in Hebrews 11:6. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. It's a matter of honesty. All of us are created beings. God created our parents, Adam and Eve. And yet, since we all come from the same parents, that really messes up the idea of racism. Hmm? People say, well, brother from another mother. Same mama. We all come from the same parents. And so we owe our existence to him. And to not believe he exists leaves us hopelessly disconnected of knowing where we came from, where we're going, what we're supposed to be doing, why we exist. We don't understand our existence until we acknowledge his. Can you see this?
Yes.
And it's a choice. And in your heart, you already know. The Bible says deep calls unto deep. In your heart, you already know. If you could just pause your brain for a moment and check your heart's going, of course God made us. Of course I'm dependent on him every millisecond for my existence. Everybody said out loud, I believe,
I believe
God is.
God is.
The great I am.
Exists.
The creator,
of the heavens and the earth,
my creator, and my God,
I worship you,
and I give you reverence. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Well, our time is up, but how many think this is a good place to lay a foundation? Is that right? God is. We'll see you soon. Back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390